So, Lord, we ask that you would please use this morning, that you would touch us, that you would quicken us, that you would give us joy, peace, excitement, that your truth would be shared. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's start in Ephesians 2. Starting in Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." And I love this. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." You know, we just finished a class in Ephesians with Pastor Van Doren, and it just seems like every time that you look into this, it grows greater. I don't know if any of you have had the great pleasure of digging in New England, but in New Hampshire is called the Granite State for a very good reason. And so I've been trying to do some work at my place there. And every time you try to put a shovel, or in this case a pick, into the ground, it is answered back with a ping from a rock. And no matter how you dig that ground, you still continue to find rocks, even in areas that have been dug before. But this is what the Word of God is like, right? We have dug that, and we've pulled out what we thought was this was the substance. And then we go back again, and all of a sudden, wow, there's so much more to it. It's so much deeper than what I thought I understood, and it doesn't end. And it doesn't end. And you can see people in their later years still excited and bringing forth the fullness or the completion of the truth, which never undoes what you've learned before, but only adds to it. That's the amazing part. So I was thinking about this morning and how we have been changed. This is going to drive me crazy, taking my glasses on and off with this headset. But, okay, distraction. So what is today's world? What are we looking at? What is he saying here? What is he telling us here? That there has been a translation. We have given something and received something. What have we given? Our self-interests, our self-lusts, right? What have we really done? We've simply made a decision and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is real. I believe that he is for me. I believe that he is God. And what happens? We have an instant transformation, and our spiritual life comes alive. Right? At that moment that we're saved, that spiritual part of us comes alive, and it can be in contact with God, and now it's receiving from God. And we have a light that comes on. What I wanted to speak about tonight, and I mean this morning, and hopefully we get to, is to continue. But as we get there, I was looking at Daniel. In Daniel 3, starting in verse 1 through 20, is an interesting story. So you think about it. These young men are planning their lives. You know, I'm going to do this in the kingdom of Israel. I'm going to do that. I've got a potential for a great job. Maybe there's a kind of cute girl lives around the corner, and maybe something could happen there, which would be rather exciting, and that would be good. And I have this plan for my life and an idea and what my family had stood for. And then all of a sudden, something drastic happens. The Babylonian army, right? Here are these guys. And next thing you know, you're taken captive. And then you're shipped far away. And then you make some choices and you see God do some pretty amazing things. But then there comes a time of choice. There comes a time where we make a decision. What will they do? Right? The king says, we're setting up the statue. When we blow the music, bow down and worship it. Okay. We know that's ridiculous. We know he's not God. We know that he's, you know, on his way out of his mind. Maybe a little prophecy there, right? So we see that, but now what happens? My plans were over here. They were changed to here. Things are getting a little better here. And now, well, I gotta make a decision. Is it any different today? Is it any different today, what comes at us, what we look at, what's there, what's in front of us, what's given to us, what's happening in the change in the country and the undermining of the faith that stands in front of us? A senior missionary who came to our conference, I won't say his name, but had said to a friend of mine that he had been on the mission field, I don't know how many, 30 years, maybe more, and he had been different places, and every time he got off the plane, when he arrived back here, he always felt like, I'm home. And this year, when he got off the plane, he said he felt evil. Right? Where do we live? Where do we stand? Where do we think on these things? What do we do? Right? I don't know about you, but in my trade, although it's changing with the new tools and new equipment, but I run a torch quite a bit, and I don't think there's much more painful than burns. I don't know if you've ever been burnt, but the idea of being tossed into a furnace, is quite a thing, right? It's quite a thing. Yet, I compare myself to them and say, coward, right? Do I dare speak up? Do I dare say something at work? Do I say something in the grocery store? Although I went with Beth to the grocery store on Friday, and the cashier said, why do you even come in here? You have no idea what you're doing. Imagine that. She's like, just leave your wife and go outside. It's like, come on. I should have given her the gospel. Yeah. Yeah. She was pretty, she looked like she might have been a Babylonian soldier. But in any event, here we are today. What do we face? What do we face? Right now there's and I'm not saying this is a civic lesson. This is not this. I'm just using an example. But we have things in front of us today that are serious. There's agendas that are standing in front of us, and those agendas won't move, right? They won't move. They have a plan, and they won't be stood in their way. I watched this documentary. There was a young man and his family that had Cubans. They had a restaurant in Chicago, and the riots came, and they burnt through the place, but they didn't burn his place. But they demanded that every business would post something positive for Black Lives Matter. And he said, I don't want to do that. Well, what ended up happening, you can go and look up the film. It's unbelievable what happened. This little church that he was a part of was so attacked. He was so attacked lives threatened, kids' lives threatened. They went to the film, saw who was on church, tracked them down to their jobs, had their bosses fire them. Wow, it was incredible. It was like a little furnace. And you know what? The pastor of that church said that the pressure, he never saw pressure like that. People sending pictures of his children saying, I'm going to kill your kid. Why? Why? Because you would not go along with what the prince of the power of the air says to believe. Now, I think you guys know me pretty well, and I don't really have an interest in whether you are South American, North American, Asian, or whatever. That isn't in the play here. I'm not talking about that, and I'm not speaking about that. What I'm speaking about is the power of the prince of the power of the air to say, you will think as I think. The same thing was there with Daniel and these guys, because what they could have done is very easy. Just come out and say, oh, yeah, okay, is the music over? You know, God, I don't believe. You know, I don't do. But take a stand is crazy. To take a stand is a hard thing, right? And the pressure of the world is becoming greater to make us comply. In verse 16 of Daniel 3 was very interesting when these young men were presented by Nebuchadnezzar and they said, oh king, we are not careful how we answer you. Think about that. We are not careful how we answer you. Hopefully the translation's the same. Right? But this is what, imagine that. Imagine being one who is confident enough to say that. But what a difference it makes in this world. I've used this example many times, but it's an example that is, I think, shows the power of standing for the truth. And I was at lunch with a bunch of guys, and we're sitting around, and this young guy sits down to have lunch, and he says, oh, my gosh. My girlfriend wants to get married so bad. She's chasing me to get married. And then started it. First guy, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? Right? Next guy, oh, you don't want that responsibility. And on it went, like, you know, the negative, 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 negative. And it came to me and I said, do you love her? And he said, yeah, I love her. And you wouldn't marry her? That same group of guys turned on the poor kid and said, what kind of a man are you? You love a girl you wouldn't stand for. What's wrong with you? You see, what happens is when we give the truth sets you free. When I say, no, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to bow to that. I'm going to stand. You have no idea who stands behind you. You have no idea how much encouragement it gives to so many people that will say, you're right. You're right. That's wrong. And I'm not going to accept it. But this is what God wants to do. He wants us to be an example. I like much better the idea of, let's do something supernatural, a little lightning, a little excitement, burn up an altar like Elijah, lick up the stuff, like, let's do that, right? You know, why am I going to be the guy to say something, right? Let's have a little backup here, right? But here they are, they're not careful for anything and how they answer, right? The word fear, I cannot pronounce it in Greek, so I won't. Quaking, trembling, terror, panic, the feeling of dread, right? Premonition or expectation. The power of expectation, right? The power that comes from expectation. We can get into something, see something, or maybe it's only me, but in my mind I can run it all the way to the end, right? Like this is where it comes to, right? Have an argument with your wife and sit down and say, well, that's over, right? That's gone to the end, right? Our minds move so fast. They're pushed with the atmosphere. Unless what? Unless what? Unless they're anchored on something, And now I have gone right away from my message. So, what is it that our mind is anchored on? What is it that I have? In Ephesians 6, where is it, 12, and actually a little beyond that, it says, be strong. Be strong. How can I be strong? Well, Romans 8:32 says, if I know the truth will set me free. And we see what? What do we see? What did Jesus do to contend with the devil? Right? Satan comes to him in Matthew 4, and he says what? He says, here he is, and he said, okay, now I'm going to bring you and tempt you in all these places. This is Jesus. Right? Hello, devil, this is Jesus. Right? He doesn't even have to speak one word and creation comes. He can be done with you and you think you're going to tempt him. But how does Jesus answer him? Right? With the word of God. With the word of God. He answers with the sword of truth. Right? And he says, no, Satan, that's not true. Right? And isn't it interesting that Satan always uses a little piece of truth in his lies? He always brings that little extra piece to try and push this through and say, hey, what about this? Right? What's one of his most famous things that he does? You know, if you have children and you've got kids and you have things, I don't even have to worry about kids anymore this morning. I got dogs. And one dog has a bone and the other one doesn't have the bone, so it's there crying like, are you going to help me? This is unfair! Right? This is what Satan says to us all the time. It's unfair! Why do I have to be fat? That's not fair! Right? Some of these people eat whatever they want. God, what's going on? It's unfair! And here's Satan coming right along to push this and to go. And then he says, look, just compromise. Just compromise on this area. So here's the thing is so last night, so we have some neighbors next to us in New Hampshire, and their son has come on a couple of our teen trips. And so last night, here we are sitting in my porch, and he asked me, why don't you drink? This is the father of my the kid. Why don't you drink? So I wanted to come up with a nice little, well, because. And so I said, well, here's an opportunity, isn't it? You know why I don't drink? Because God says don't drink. Right? I said, and then it's even greater than that. I said, in the position, by the grace of God, I'm addicted to food. I can't get away from food. But I was never addicted to alcohol. It didn't have power. Although it was given enough opportunity. But the thing was, is that there was a day, there was a time, and God spoke to me and said, this is what my word says. Are you going to follow it? Or are you going to compromise? It's unbelievable what transferred after that. Is we would go out to dinner, Beth and I would go out with our friends and have a iced tea. And we would have think, but what I said is right now I'm drawing a line and you dirty heathen are over there and the saved are over here. It drove people crazy. Right? It drove them crazy. What difference does it make? Because it's a kingdom issue. It's a kingdom issue. What I choose to do, what do I say? And I'm not up here to attack you on that. God will speak to you about that. If you'll listen. If you know the word of God, you know how to fight back in that. But what I wanted to think about is what is God asking us to do? What is he looking for us to do? What is he interested in our lives? What does he want us to do but to continue to grow in him? To continue to walk with him? Acts 1:14, he says, continue in one accord. Be together. Gather together. Stand together. What do we see come under attack all the time is something to prevent us from being with the body of Christ. Right? Isn't it amazing how people that have left it can be offended? I one time saw this guy at the mall many years ago, and he told me, I said, you haven't seen me in a long time. He said, I'm never going back to that church. I said, well, what happened to you? He He said, I was walking out of the church and I went to shake Pastor Morrison's hand and he turned his back on me. And I said, well, I hate to ruin your parade of hate, but Pastor Morrison doesn't, that would be me. Pastor Morrison doesn't have an ounce of spite or anger in his body when he was here with us. And if he did it, I'm sure somebody called his name or he did it to turn, and I know it would not have been on purpose. And I said, if you had spoken to him, he would probably be heartbroken that it even had happened. Right? Well, I don't know. But isn't it amazing how it is set up to what? So that we're not of one accord. Right? Acts 13:43 says, continue in the grace of God. Oh, we love the grace of God. Right? I love the grace of God for me, but am I prepared to give it to others? Right? Am I ready to do that? To continue in the grace of God? Acts 14:22 and Colossians 1:23 says to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Hebrews 13:1, continue in brotherly love. Romans 12:12, continue in prayer. All right? How do I continue in these things? How do I continue in these ways? How do I continue to walk with God? How is it that that happens? Right? It happens by standing in the place that God has set us and thinking with God and letting Him teach us how to think. Let's turn to Jude. So starting in verse 17. But you beloved members of, remember the words which were spoken before Christ by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even their garment despised by the flesh. Right? So here we see in Jude, and we see this, well, we understand the times, right? The times are here. We see the mockers. We see the foolishness. We see the continual downgrading or destruction of our society. Right? And it continues to go down. How do I stand? How do I walk in this thing? What do we see here in Jude? It says, building up yourself in the faith. How do I build myself up in the faith? Well, what are we doing this morning? Right? What are we doing this morning? We are building ourselves up in the faith. We come here and say, God, give me something, show something. When I walk into the room and I see people and I'm encouraged by people and I am building myself up in the faith. What other things can we do? We pray, right? We pray. Asking God. If you have some little ones with you, I made a big mistake, and I took, I think there were eight of them, eight little guys to this country store where they have this long counter about as long as this with penny candy. And as I walked in, this woman said, fool. And penny candy, I think, cost me $98. But they were crazy, and you hear something break in the back of the store, and I'm like, oh, God, please. Right? But they knew how to ask. They started on me from the moment they were there. Oh, Uncle Doug, Uncle Doug, Uncle Doug, Uncle Doug, Uncle Doug. And they were asking without ceasing. You know, this is the thing. Do we go to God? Do we know God? Do we approach God? Right? Are we interested in God, or do I just say, Here's my list for this morning. See me get it filled. All right. Call me when it's done. All right. Am I interested? Am I interceding? Am I walking with God? Am I talking with God? And then am I listening? All right. Do I stop and listen? How do I keep in the love of God? I have to understand the love of God. That's why we started in Ephesians. What has he done for me? What has he translated for me? What has happened in this? Did he ask anything? Did he require anything? He said, just believe, right? And here he's added all these things onto me. His care that he would not take his own body. He would let it be destroyed for my sake. That's unbelievable. Right? The love that's there. Looking for mercy. Right? Looking for mercy. 1 John 1:9. Am I bringing to him and saying, I failed God. Correct me in this area. I repent in this place. Please, please, I want to have our relationship. Do you have compassion for others? Does God have some people they put on your heart that you could pray and watch and see? There's nothing that is as exciting as watching God work in somebody's life to give you great encouragement in your faith. You pray with someone, you speak with someone, and then wow, you see a change. Just recently we had a young lady, and she's new and newly saved, and she said, you know, I saw her on Sunday morning and she's running out the door, and I thought, wow, that's kind of strange. And then Sunday night she was back at teens. And I said, oh wow, you know, you, and she said, well, I changed my work schedule so I can go to church in the morning and I can go to teens in the afternoon. I moved my hours. She said, I had to do a little finagling and beg and plead with the people to allow me to do this. And I thought, wow, here's a young lady who what has found out the truth. She's gotten to know the Holy Spirit. She knows Jesus. It's making a difference in her life. It's changing what she's doing. Right? This is where we can build. Or we can live in a dominion that's controlled by the atmosphere and operated by the atmosphere. And we live on our wants and our needs and our desires. Problem with our wants and our needs and our desires, they never give us what we think we're going to get from it. Right? It never fulfills all the way. It never gets to that point. He who holds everything in his hand is grateful to give us. He spares nothing from us. In Ephesians 6:10, which we had said earlier, he said, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he says, he who calls you is faithful to do it. Isn't that incredible? That he's not saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what is expected of you. There's another plumber in the house that runs a company, and I think he knows very well what it is. You bring somebody to a job and you say, are you capable? Yes, okay, this is what I want to do. And you have to come back many times and be faithful to do what you had shown to be done, right? And you say, huh, but God is there, and he's there with me. And he is going to make it happen. He's going to do that. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Understanding. Having the ability to know what is God's mind, where it is there. How do I recover when I fail? 1 John 1:9, how do I recover in the world? I give myself grace, give myself mercy, right? Because I know the truth, and the truth sets me free, and that power is not there. It's interesting, I heard coming down this morning, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, how do you raise your children? Fathers, not to be too hard, nor to be too light. I was amazed when my kids were younger, they went to a Christian school, and I was amazed at how many kids were in the Christian school. The parents worked hard, made the money, sent the kids to the school, but the parents never went to church. That used to always make me think, wait a minute, you're bringing your kid here to teach them the things of God so they will have a better life or a better plan, but you're not interested yourself? What does that say, right? What is that showing? You see, God gives us truth, gives us wisdom, gives us discernment. How do I show my kid? What have my kids learned about God more than anything else? Watching their father repent and recover. I'm pretty good at it. I've had a lot of practice, right? But here we are, and God says, you know what? What happened in each one of these cases? Daniel, right? They said, Daniel, you can't pray. And what does he do? He puts himself in the window to pray. Come on, just do it quietly in the back. Why do you got to stand out? You guys, just bow down. And then you can go right back to Bible college. Just for, you know, why create a stir? Why say something? What's the interesting thing that happened at the end of each of these stories? What happened after the fiery furnace? There was a decree that went out by the king that if you say anything against this God, you get cut in pieces and your house is made a dunghill. Right? What happens in Daniel? Daniel's promoted and given this place and an opportunity and to go into what? Into the whole world of that time and have power and authority representing God. God is not mocked. God is set free. His plan is there. And it turns out, wow, incredible victory. Incredible victory. You know, I always thought to myself, you know, imagine one of those guys after his Shadrach, right? Oh, man, things are not going so good at work. Wonder if I'll make my mortgage. Oh, yeah, I was once on fire, but it didn't burn me. Oh, I wonder where my mortgage is. Right? Do you think about that? Right? I mean, here we are, God delivers us, moves and goes, and we're worried about these other things. And thinking this morning that the Word of God just was spoken. The Word of God was spoken, and there was light. The Word of God was spoken, and the earth was formed. Right? Yeah, but he doesn't know my relationship. Right? Isn't it amazing? He created this whole earth, and he didn't need anything from us. Yet we sit back and say, well, he doesn't understand my health or my finances or my relationships, right? We're fools in our own understanding. Come to know God. Come to walk with God. Come to learn of him. Why do we want to learn of him? Because we want to learn how to operate the Word of God so that when Satan comes, we can stop him, right? When he comes, we can bring the Word of God and send him away. Why? So that we're not subject to him. So that we're not taken advantage of. And then to be used of the kingdom to set people free is incredible. Right? And you think about this little room here in this building. We have started churches. We started the church in Montreal. We started a church in Maine. We're in the process right now. We're going to try and start a church in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're praying that this will happen. This summer's our outreach. We're already having Bible studies there. I talked, it's kind of amazing. My cousin lives there. And I talked to him and his wife about it, and they were excited. You know what? God is moving. God has plans. God has excitement. Or what can we do? We can live in our old way and just be thinking, oh, this will take care of me, or this will fulfill me, or this. We can do all things. We're not held back from doing something. We're not held back from that. We were on our way home, and this motorcycle weekend up north. And Tony was riding by. No, and there were, we were up there, and Motorcycle Weekend is there, and there's a great identity. There's a great draw to draw you to towards the motorcycle and the noise and the power and that. And those guys, whoever the Harley Davidson is, the most amazing in the world of marketing. Everything is Harley Davidson, right? Everything. Sunglasses, shoes, everything he's got. And here's the identity that's there. Here's that. Which is fine. Those guys that were riding in lines going down the highway, and it was pretty impressive. And then one guy in the front goes over, and then the guy in the back goes over, and then the whole group moves over, and they go down. It was kind of cool to watch, and it was like, wow, here's a group, here's that. But here's the most amazing, nothing wrong, ride a bike's awesome. And we go by, and Beth and I look, and there's his tent. And what does it say? Bikers for Christ, right? And they're giving out stuff. And they, if you pull up there, they wash your bike and give you the gospel while they're washing your bike. And you know what? God uses all things, right? Ride. Go ahead and ride. Beth won't let me get a motorcycle, but I used to have one, and I went down a couple times. But the excitement, the identity. To be known as Christ, right? The biggest thing for those guys is wearing their colors, right? Shouldn't we be excited to wear our colors, right? I am a Christian. I am a child of God, right? Isn't that something to be proud of? Isn't that something to be excited? Because nothing I did, right? There's no initiation. You just have to believe. So in closing, let's think about this world. This craziness. And ask God for strength and wisdom as to where to stand. Ask God for how to approach a situation wise. Maybe his answer will be like that to those Hebrew boys, and he won't say, be careful. Or maybe he will say, be careful. Right? Because he's the God of wisdom and understanding. And I know one thing. Just go back when you get home and reread Ephesians 2 and think, wow, what has he set me free from? And I'm not talking about an addiction, or I'm talking about my own insecurity. I'm talking about my foolishness of wasting life. Right? The joy that can be set before us. The joy that we can have. Because the last thing I will say is Ecclesiastes 7:8. And what does it say? Greater is the end than the beginning. You might be winning in the beginning, but if you're not winning in the end, you didn't win. Right? So greater is the end of a thing. Let's be excited what will be the end of things. Let's be excited what God has for us. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We ask you to be with Pastor Bailey down to convention and all those that have already traveled. Lord, we ask that you would just touch lives, save souls, excite people, energize us. And Lord, we just ask, just in case someone's here this morning and they say, I have never believed. I have never thought it was necessary or understood it. Please do not leave this building without saying, Lord, I believe. I'm calling upon you, Lord. I want a new mind. I want a new life. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to be with you for eternity. And if you said that prayer, please speak to somebody and let them know so we could rejoice with you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.